may be seated. Thanks, worship team. There's a very powerful dynamic that happens when we just invite God to come together with us and to meet Him like that. And we really believe that God is there. It says in the Bible, it says where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, really inviting His Spirit like we just did, that He's there among us. And I hope you can feel that and sense that, or at least know that this morning. And we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service today to pray with somebody. And Kim is going to be in the back corner there, and Kevin over in that corner, and Rob is going to be up here. And myself, and we did this about a month ago. Peter invited people, if you'd like to pray with somebody, just meet together with God, with somebody, we want to give you opportunity for that. We really believe that what Sunday morning really is about, it constitutes a time to meet together with God, and that He really does answer prayer, and that there is a powerful dynamic that even happens in the meeting together that is different than even by ourselves. You know, next week we're really going to celebrate that. We're going to come together next week and celebrate our year in ministry. And there has been so many things that God has done in us and through us together this year. And some of it is on that big, flashy scale, and some of it is just in the midst of the small things. And I was reminded of that this morning when we were setting up this morning in the gym. We gave the school the opportunity to use our stuff for their spring production, which is awesome. It's just a win-win and a great way to bless the community, and many of our people in Coast Hills were involved in this production. But in the process, we have these cables that go down this gym floor here, and they got worn out, and the video wouldn't work. So it was just a cool thing when, you know, us as guys are standing together, And Dave says, you know what, I've got some of that cable at home. I just put it up in my attic. He says, I can put the ends on it, and he's in construction. And Jordan's like, yeah, we can do this. And they hooked it up together. And, you know, problem solving together is just, it's so cool how God works in the dynamic. Things that cannot be done just individually, how together we make it. And Peter showed that video last week of moving a barn. Like how many, I don't know how many hundred or thousand people all picking up a barn together and moving it. I thought that was such a cool expression of all that can be accomplished together. And sometimes it isn't in the masses. Sometimes we might feel small or be small or whatever. Really, God really works through smallness. Not on a spiritual level, but on another level with kind of being small and how that all works together. My daughter is in Toronto this weekend. She's playing on a volleyball team that's playing in nationals there. And they won the province. They won BC last week. And the point that was made by the coach after the win last week was, you know what, on one level, when you see our team warming up and you see the other teams, we're out-heighted by about 6 inches on just about all the other teams. Maybe not quite 6, 4 inches. They hit harder. It looks like we have no chance. And then they go out and together. And it really is that dynamic of together. And even the girls that usually sit on the bench standing and cheering and going nuts, we won this together. And that's the amazing dynamic. And if that can be done on a human level in something like volleyball, how much greater in the church when we all come together? Great things can happen, and God can really do amazing things. And so we're looking forward to celebrating that next week, having a special offering together, bringing whatever it is, however insignificant it seems, to God. And I know really celebrating all that we've done through the year of bringing ourselves and bringing our resources and our talents and our ministry to God over the years. So that's going to be a real highlight next week. We're going to have a special time. There's going to be some drama. There's going to be some testimonies. There's going to be a lunch afterwards. So I hope you can make it next week. It's really going to be great. Together this morning, we're talking about the better statement, and that is we're talking about how wisdom is better than gold this morning. We get a lot of choices handed to us. And this series is coming out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book about choices, really. It's saying you can choose this and you can choose that. And we are given free will as humans. And it's really saying, here's the better decision to make. Now, all of us face decisions on so many different levels. How many of you have important decisions to make right now? I'm sure many of you do. You've got a lot of important decisions to make. And because we're Canadian, I'm not going to make you put your hands up too high. But if you think about it, you've got decisions to make about this week. You've got decisions as minor as what to maybe make for lunch today to the bigger ones. Who you might date, who you might marry, where you're going with your career, the jobs you choose, the courses you choose at school. There's so many decisions that we have to make. You might be at a stage now, and I talked a little bit about that, where you might have aging parents. What do I do in that situation? You might be at another stage where you're deciding, are we celebrating one more kid in our midst this Sunday? Am I going to have more kids or not? I remember very distinctly the conversation after we had three kids, and my wife and I are sitting there going, one more? Okay, well, you know, what a privilege. I'm glad we did. And that is a wonderful decision, too, to be able to make and have another child. And, you know, whatever it might be, whether we are, whatever kind of work we do, whatever our decisions that we make in relationships, we have so many choices. And this series is going to be about when life hands you choices, choose what's better. I think we can agree, there's a profound statement that we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. We make our decisions, then our decisions. When you think about that, that is, we all make decisions about how we are building our lives. Now, certainly there's a whole lot of things that are outside of our control, but there is a lot within our control to choose. And Proverbs says, when you're going to choose, choose the better. There's a very profound story. We're going to do the backdrop of it actually next week. It's the time when King David, after his 40-year reign or so, he didn't have quite the queen 60-year thing going for him, but he had a long reign, and they were so used to David being in charge. And they celebrated, and he knew it was the end, and he was going to hand it over to Solomon, his son. And Solomon, his son, was looking at this great kingdom that had been made, and the temple that was going to be built as well. And he knew that he had some big decisions coming up. And he had God actually visit him in a vision and show himself to him and say, Solomon, what would you like? It's that classic, but bigger than, a genie in a bottle kind of thing. Like, whatever you choose, I'll give it to you. And here's how Solomon responded. Solomon replied to God in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 8 to 10, you showed faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours? Amazing how Solomon responded. And God acknowledged that. God said, you could have chosen wealth. You could have chosen great riches. You could have chosen honor, a long life, or even the defeat of your enemies. And they had many enemies. He says, but you chose wisdom. That is, God was so pleased with that decision that he actually gave Solomon all of that on top of it. But Solomon was given this decision and he said, you know what, I'm over my head in this endeavor. I've got all these choices to make. There's a lot of responsibility in the midst of this, and I need your guidance. And he says, I need wisdom. And he went on to write the book of Proverbs, most of it anyhow. And in that, in Proverbs 16, verse 16, he says, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver. Think about it. Wisdom is better than money. Wisdom's better than getting money. Wisdom's better than winning the lottery or making a ton of cash. Now, that's really countercultural, really, when you think about it. You know, as we put up all these advertisements of, you know, better is, in, it's just better. Up here, we are faced with so much, so many messages that kind of feed our dissatisfaction and say, I just need a little bit more money. I need something more. I need a little more cash, a little more gold. And it's affecting us. I came across a stat recently I thought it was interesting. In the 1960s, teens were asked what their greatest ambitions were. And there's a whole variety of responses that came of what they really wanted in life, what they wanted at the top of the list. And there was a whole bunch of responses. But the one that came out the highest in the 1960s was, I want to be a doctor. They've done this study again in this decade, and they're asked the same question. Guess which one came up the highest? I want to be rich. That was the highest one. Think we are being affected by this. This is something that is coming through. And to really say, I will choose, like Solomon, to choose wisdom more than riches, is quite a choice to make. To choose wisdom. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, they found, there's another stat of that once you've got your basic needs met, once you've got kind of the classic Canadian thing going on, it doesn't make much difference. You aren't quantifiably happier with more. They found that through studies, that richer people are not necessarily happier across the board. The level of happiness that happens really comes through the kind of relationships that we have. Ultimately, God has given us, has wired us intrinsically as relational beings. Number one, to have a relationship with God. To have a relationship with God. And then to have relationships with others. And it is about the relationships. But in our relationships, in order to really make them work, don't we need wisdom? There's so many things that come at us in our relationships, in our friendships, in our families. To have wisdom to know, now how do I handle this? What do I do in this situation? Where do I go with this? Wisdom is the thing that we need. We need wisdom to know how to really have enjoyable and successful relationships. Ultimately, in the day, the most employable people are people who do well in relationships. It's really about having wisdom. You're faced with so many nuances and choices to make all the time in relationships. How do I do that? You think about our finances, how we need wisdom to know in our finances what to do. I came across a stat recently that was about NFL players. It was in Sports Illustrated. It turns out that within a few years, 8 out of 10 ex-NFL players, National Football League players, have got major financial problems, many of them declaring bankruptcy. Warren Sapp, if you follow sports, big, big icon, had a huge career, made millions of dollars, just declared bankruptcy. And they looked at it and they said, what is the reason for this? And there was a number of articles on it. I found it interesting. One of them just said, you know, it's kind of from, most of the reasons fall under the umbrella of ways to act dumb, is what they put in it. These include do drugs, fight dogs, and have too many children. Another person kind of took it apart in a little bit more of a thoughtful way and said, in most cases, the players made bad investment choices, spent frivolously. Okay, you got to understand that the median salary is $900,000 in the NFL per year. So they make almost $1 million. Starting wage, minimum you can get paid in the NFL is $400,000 a year to start with, $390,000 to be exact. So these are people who have made millions and millions of dollars and spent frivolously, fell victim to predatory advisors, or assigned their less qualified friends or family to handle their affairs. We need wisdom. Now, we might not have millions of dollars to work with, but regardless of what it is, we are entrusted with things financially, and it is so significant to make decisions that are going to build, that are going to give us a better life. Ultimately, our better life is quantified by saying, how do I please God? How do I really please God? And really, you know, that takes wisdom to know, how do I please God? To take on my decisions and say, okay, God, at the end of the day, what I most want in this decision is to please you. Can you help me? God says, I want to give you wisdom. Last week we talked a little bit about parenting, about Mother's Day, to be a good parent. How often are we faced with parenting decisions? Kids don't come with manuals. And we're given this opportunity to make decisions along the way, to build into our lives. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Get wisdom. It's better. It sounds a little bit like a catch-22, like I need wisdom to get wisdom. How do I get this? How do I go about it? The interesting and ironic thing is that foolish people often don't know that they're foolish. The foolish person doesn't know that. They lack the wisdom to know that they're doing foolish things. You know, how often we might look around us and go, man, I'm thinking about this situation or that situation. Oftentimes we kind of depersonalize it. We think it's out there. whether it be with an NFL player or somebody else. But I think what we got to do too is kind of look at ourselves and say, is there something, I got to kind of put myself through the fool exam. I got to ask myself these questions. And Proverbs deals with it. Proverbs helps us to avoid at least going down that road. Not long ago, I found my eyes feeling a little bit blurry, and I thought, maybe I need glasses. So I went in and got, you know, the eye exam, and they give you the chart, and you look at it. And I went through it, and he said, well, you don't need them yet, but keep going where you're going. Probably 5 years from now, you know, you might need glasses kind of thing. Well, maybe this morning, what we need to do is look at some scripture from Proverbs and say, maybe I'm not there yet, but, you know, I don't want to get there. And when it comes down right down to it, all of us make some foolish decisions sometimes. We all do. It's just the reality of living. I got a call from my son a few months ago from college, and he goes to the same college, Briarcrest College, that I went to, my wife and I both went to. And he says, Dad, I was in the dean's office, and they had old yearbooks. I flipped through them. I found a picture of you. He said, your hair. He said, you're wearing an acid-wash jean jacket with shoulder pads. He laughed his head off at me. I'm sure he laughed with his friends. That was a foolish decision on my part. That was foolish, those styles. But how many of us think about it and go, you know, do I sometimes act before I think? Do I sometimes spend all or more than I earn? Do I sometimes do something to hurt someone in my family? Am I slow sometimes to ask for help or to get advice? The Bible says, you know, that's foolish. We need help. We need wisdom in the decisions that we make. The Bible says, in Proverbs, it says, fools act before they think. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 16, it says, wise people think before they act. Fools don't, and even brag about their foolishness. You know, how many times does that happen in our lives? I mean, we might look at some of what happens on the news with, you know, the Vancouver Stanley Cup riots and go, okay, they acted, then they bragged about it. Where's that now? But how often, just in the course of a day or whatever, we look at our actions and go, you know what? I need some wisdom. I acted before I thought. Fools spend all they earn, it says. Here's another kind of fool test in Proverbs 21, verse 20. It says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. How important it is for us to think about that. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this series as well. Fools hurt those who they love. Proverbs 14, verse 1 says, a wise woman, I think we could put a man in there as well, builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. How often do we say things or do things in our family that's damaging? How often do we end up kind of hurting the people that are most closest to us? How do I respond in situations? Fools think they know it all. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. How often do we need to be humble enough to be able to receive instruction from somebody else? Maybe there's somebody even in our life right now that's saying, you know what? Danger, danger over that direction. Listen. Fools think their own way is right, but a wise person listens to others. Wisdom is so important. Wisdom is much better than gold and riches. How do I get wisdom? I want to close with this. How do I get wisdom? And it's really, there's some very specific instruction in the Bible. And ultimately, you come to the Bible and you say, here, I need some wisdom. Where do I start? And when we think about it, that we need some wisdom to get wisdom, it's a wise choice to get wiser. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Fear God. It's interesting, we were talking about this at leadership team this week, and our chair for leadership board, Rob Kirkham, you know, I didn't have the specifics of the Sundays laid out necessarily, or all the scripture passages with it. And he says, I was thinking last night about the upcoming series, and he says, one that came to mind, I asked Rob if I could share this. He sent me this email this week. He says, if there is a week that a text hasn't been picked, I have a suggestion, Proverbs 9:10. I thought, whoa, wow. I'd say great minds think alike, but that would be proud. And that's not very wise to say, but he says, you know, it's a wisdom teaching. It's a statement about who the Lord is what Rob wrote me, and how we relate to him, not as a distant ruler, but as one who knows us and who we can and what we are called to know. I guess one would have to get into the Hebrew to make sure that I'm not out to lunch in this, but I don't think knowledge of the Holy One means the same thing as knowing of the Holy One. It isn't about information or book learning. I think it means knowing with the same intimacy one knows one's parents or spouse or child. That's the invitation, really, that Proverbs makes is, come to me, the source of wisdom. And it's not just for information's sake, but get to know me. You know, I think what comes out of that, when the Bible uses the word fear God, saying you walk into this wealth of bigness, of greatness, of wisdom that is so far beyond you. And like Job, you just kind of end up going, who am I? Like, I'm like a drop in the ocean of wisdom that you have, God. And it causes this awe-inspiring kind of sense of, oh, wow, I'm in the presence of something very big. You know, so often I think in our culture we foolishly bring God down to our level, or actually subject him to our decisions, put him just underneath us, really. And what happens when we really enter into a relationship with God and get to know him, really know him, then we realize that, wow, there is this incredible wisdom that's out there. It causes some awe-inspiring thoughts. The kind of brilliance that is there is so beyond any brilliance here on earth. It's something deeper than just IQ and head knowledge. It's actually something that guides us, really, in our lives. Fear God is what the Bible says. That's the beginning. That's the foundation. Other translations say it's the beginning of wisdom. Fear God. Number two is to ask God. The Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask God. James 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God says, if you want wisdom, just come to me. It's as simple as that. Like I said, we're going to have a prayer time afterwards this morning, and it might be just something very simple. It might be something that you're facing this week or whatever, but you might just want to say, I want to act that out. I actually want to just pray with somebody and ask God for some wisdom on that. God is available to anyone. You don't have to be in the influential club, smart club, powerful club. He just says, wherever you are, I want to invite you to come to me for wisdom. How wise would it be to go through life facing whatever decisions, and each of us, we wake up in the mornings, oftentimes there's a decision that we know we need to make, or it might not be a big one, but we just know there's going to be a series of decisions. We just say, God, can you guide me? Can you give me the wisdom I need? How incredible Solomon-like is that to do that? And what could God give us as a response? I've talked to so many people, and I've experienced it some in my life as well, where people have just said, you know, I was facing this decision, and I prayed about it. I asked God. And it might not have shown up in a burning bush or, you know, like Jonah and Nineveh, this, you know, voice from heaven, but I just felt guided. I just knew that this was the right way to go. That's the wisdom of God. That's how he does things. And then you make a decision, you go down that path, and you look back and you go, wow, like I was guided. It might not have made my circumstances that much easier or whatever, or everything come together, but I know that he guided me in that decision back then. God says, I want you to ask. I love how it says another translation in James 1:5, it says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. It's such a great thing to go through life being confident that I can just ask God. It just kind of brings a whole new level of freedom to life. I'm going to just ask him. And yeah, sometimes I'm not going to get it right, and I'm going to make some mistakes along the way, but along the way, I'm going to be guided. I'm going to get his wisdom in my life. Solomon just asked for that, and look at what happened. I like how God said in that, in his response to Solomon, he says, you didn't ask for the defeat of your enemies. You asked for wisdom. I think sometimes we look at things or we look at circumstances or what we perceive as the enemy. You know, it might be the situation, the hurdle, the obstacle. And we ask for that to change. And there's a place for that. But how often do we just need the wisdom to know how to go through that or how to face that obstacle or that circumstance? And if we have the wisdom, we'll go through it. We'll learn. We'll grow in the process. God says, just ask. And thirdly and lastly, I just want to, the Bible makes it real clear that we can get wisdom by hanging out with wise people. That's a decision that we make actually as well. How do we choose the people that we really hang out with? And I think if there ever is a time in our media age when we think about who we hang out with, whether it be a video, TV, social media, those actually are people that we hang out with. And it's really great to look at it and say, am I being around wise people? Am I exposing myself? Obviously, there's a whole lot of foolishness that we're just, it's, you know, unavoidable. But am I being intentional about building friendships, having wise people around me? Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. I think it's really important to think, who am I walking closely with? Am I intentionally building relationships that are that I just know I can look at this person's life and say, I can see how their life is being built upon wisdom. And whether however formal the relationship is, I'm just hearing their input into my life. You know, part of what we do at Coast Hills is provide an avenue for life groups so that people can get together and look at God's word together and say, okay, now how does that practically work itself out in our lives? That's wisdom. How am I going to hear from each other and kind of bounce ideas and hear things and go, oh, okay, yeah. The Bible says hang out with wise people and become wiser still. I want to close with prayer and, like I said, a prayer time. Prayer is really coming to God as your leader, saying, God, I need your wisdom. The world says that isn't wise. When you think about it, fundamentally, as a Christ follower, you are doing something that you know and believe is wise that other people might not. And when we come to God and we ask him for wisdom, he will show us what is wise. Proverbs 16, verse 16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver. I want to invite the worship team to come up, if you would. We're going to close with a song. And while they come up too, if those who volunteered to be available for prayer, we're just going to make prayer available during the song, and then as usual, we'll just end with this song. But if you'd like to pray with somebody, Rob's here, and Kim, and Kevin, I'll just be here. And if during the song you'd like to pray with somebody, maybe there's a decision specifically, there might be just the overarching kind of, God, I just want to ask for wisdom. You can come and pray with one of us. We welcome you to do that. I want to invite you to stand together, and I'll say a prayer, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you really invite us. You are a generous God who gives to us wisdom as we ask. And Lord, we recognize our limitations, how easy sometimes it is for us to choose foolishly. For us to choose what is less than better. And your word tells us that wisdom is better than gold. It's better than anything we can see around us tangibly. It's something that guides us. And it's found from you, God. We just ask for wisdom in our lives. And we thank you that you will give it. It's as simple as that. In your name, amen.